The Midnight Rose by Lucinda Riley. Read by Aisha Carla.
Let my thoughts come to you when I am gone, like the afterglow of sunset at the margin of starry silence. Rabindranath Tagore. Darjeeling, India, February 2000. Prologue. Anahita. I am 100 years old today. Not only have I managed to survive a century, but I've also seen in a new millennium. As the dawn breaks and the sun begins to rise over Mount Kanchenjunga beyond my window, I lie on my pillows and smile to myself at the utter ridiculousness of the thought. If I were a piece of furniture, an elegant chair, for example, I would be labeled an antique. I would be polished, restored, and proudly put on show as a thing of beauty. Sadly, that isn't the case with my human frame, which has not mellowed like a fine piece of mahogany over its lifetime. Instead, my body has deteriorated into a sagging, Hessian sack containing a collection of bones. Any beauty in me that might be deemed valuable lies hidden deep inside. It is the wisdom of 100 years lived on this earth, and a heart that has beaten a steady accompaniment to every conceivable human emotion and behavior. 100 years ago, to this very day, my parents, in the manner of all Indians, consulted an astrologer to tell them about the future of their newborn baby girl. I believe I still have the soothsayer's predictions for my life amongst the few possessions of my mother that I've kept. I remember them saying that I was to be long-lived. But in 1900, I realize, my parents assumed this meant that, with the gods' blessing, I would survive into my 50s. I hear a gentle tap on my door. It is Kiva, my faithful maid, armed with a tray of English breakfast tea and a small jug of cold milk. Tea, taken the English way, is a habit I've never managed to break. Even though I've lived in India, not to mention Darjeeling, for the past 78 years. I don't answer Kiva's knock, preferring on this special morning to be alone with my thoughts a while longer. Undoubtedly, Kiva will wish to talk through the events of the day, will be eager to get me up, washed and dressed before my family begins to arrive. As the sun begins to burn off the clouds covering the snow-capped mountains, I search the blue sky for the answer I've pleaded with the heavens to give me every morning of the past 78 years. Today, please, I beg the gods, for I have known in each hour that has ticked by since I last saw my child that he still breathes somewhere on this planet. If he had died, I would have known the moment it happened, as I have for all those in my life whom I've loved when they have passed over. Tears fill my eyes, and I turn my head to the nightstand by my bed to study the one photograph I have of him, a cherubic 2-year-old sitting smiling on my knee. It was given to me by my friend, Indira, along with his death certificate, a few weeks after I'd been informed of my son's death. A lifetime ago, I think. The truth is, my son is now an old man too. He will celebrate his 81st birthday in October of this year. But even with my powers of imagination, it's impossible for me to see him as such. I turn my head to